So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
So I wanted to preach this morning on we will not be silent. We will not be silent. You know, as I was contemplating this morning, bring my slide up, my title slide. There we go. We will not be silent. As I was contemplating this message this morning, I remembered a time that when I thought that I had gotten grown. Everybody knows that time. Some people think it's at 12. There are some of you that treat your kids that they're grown when they're 6 because they tell you what to do. Let me move on before I start meddling. Before I start meddling and get y'all you liberals all stirred up on me. But I don't know how old I was about 19 because I had my own job, my own car. I felt like I was an adult. And my mother said to me, she was talking and we were discussing, I thought. But apparently that's not what we were doing. And she looked at me and said, shut up. And normally I would. But I felt particularly froggy today. And I said, I will not be silent. And then she looked at me. I said, I just don't want to say anything else. And walked away before I limped away. Come on, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. My mama wasn't one of these millennial mamas. You throw a fit. No. She would take off whatever she had and wear you out with it. That's right. You 19? That's all right. She'll punch you right in your face. Mama didn't play. She quit kindergarten because they had recess. She did not play. But that's the kind of attitude that we need this morning. Is that, man, when the devil tells you, when your enemy tells you, when your situation tells you to remain silent, is you need to kind of get a little stiff in your back. We used to call it a backbone. Kind of put a backbone in you and go, oh, no, I'm not going to stay silent, devil. I'm not going to stay silent with my situation or my circumstances, because I don't have to, because I serve a God that is alive and well. I serve a God that can do more in a moment than I can do in a lifetime. So I want you to go with me to the book of Psalms chapter 30. And just leave your Bible open there because we're going to go back to it several different times. But I want to give you the end and then start with the beginning, because here's what it says. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. Just stop right there for a moment. Let that sink in. Some of you need to go ahead and prophesy. Well, Pastor, I'm not that spiritual. No, prophesy is just declaring something that's about to happen. So some of you need to prophesy that I'm tired of mourning. I'm about to start dancing. I've been quiet long enough. But I feel, my God, I feel a shout rising up in my spirit. I've been upset. I've been alone. I've been silent for far too long. But I feel something stirring in my spirit that I just can't be silent. I got to tell this story. We were in Uruguay, and Pastor Steve, who was our executive pastor till he became a traitor, until he took his own church, but his dad passed away on Sunday morning, last Sunday morning. So when we got back, I was home for a day and then flew to West Virginia to be with him and his family, and then flew back yesterday morning. And as I was there, Pastor Steve was talking, and this woman came up and she said, "You were the executive pastor at Crystal River Church of God?" He goes, "Yes." She goes, "I was there 6 or 7 years ago." She said, "And I had a diagnosis of cancer." She said, "But a woman prayed for me and prophesied over me." And I know who it was. It was Sharon Carpenter. And said, she prophesied over me. And first of all, she was telling Steve this. And Steve goes, well, that's the pastor right there. And then she looked at me and went, oh, my God. And she said, she prophesied over me. I was supposed to be dead, but I'm living. Now I'm going to the hospitals. I'm giving out testimonies. I'm praying over the sick and believing God to do something. Ah, my God. See, something turned in her. Something turned in her. My God, I feel somebody needs to put on a turn signal. I'm about to turn this thing. I've been headed down this way, but I'm about to turn this thing. He said, you have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. You have done such a work in me that to the end of my glory may I sing praise to you and that I might not be silent. What is he saying? He's basically saying this. You've done too much for me in my life for me to remain silent any longer. I know in who I have believed, and he's still on the throne. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Or thank you, musicians. Whether you realize this or not, church, there are voices in your head. Turn to somebody and go, I always knew they were there. I thought I was the only one who heard them. But yes, there are voices in your head. Somebody told me, well, Pastor, that's the only way that I can have an intelligent conversation is by talking to myself. But there are voices that are in your head, and there's the voice of victory and the voice of death. And the voice of victory has to be louder than the voice of death. The voice of victory comes into your spirit by God, and the voice of death is there because of your flesh. Because of what you've been through. The voice of hope needs to be louder than the voice of depression. The voice prophesying your future needs to be louder than the historian of your past. The voice of your Savior needs to be louder than the voice of your accuser. You can be born again and believer, but still speak with the voice of the enemy. Because, can I tell you, I was in Uruguay, but still speaking the voice of an Englishman. I'm training myself, teaching myself to speak in Spanish. Not very well, but I know enough. I know the things that I need. Tengo hambre. I'm hungry. I know some stuff. Necesito el baño. I need a bathroom. Not where is it? I need one. I know some things. Bendiciones. I know, I know some. Anyway, let me move on. But the problem is we've gotten saved, but we have yet or failed to teach ourselves to speak with the voice of victory. Because we're saved and our spirit is in another dimension than our flesh. I'm not talking about the twilight zone here. Don't get too nervous. But I'm telling you that our spirit is saved. In God, I have everything that I need to be victorious. Then why in my flesh am I not victorious all the time? Because there is a distinction, there is a separation between my spirit and my flesh. My flesh wants to do what it wants to do, but my spirit is still crying out. The spirit, it is willing, but the flesh, it is weak. The voice of blessing needs to be louder than the voice of your curses. Well, this is the way that I am. This is the way that I was born. This is the way that my family was lived. This is the way that it is supposed to be. I'm never going to be this. I'm never going to be that. Let the voice of your accuser be silent. And let the voice of heaven reign in your spirits. Point number one is simply this, the voice of death. That's what most of us listen to. When you read through the Psalms, if you start out reading Psalms, I mean, now David didn't write all of them, but if you read through the book of Psalms, when you read through the Psalms up to about chapter 18, you are reading the thoughts of a man who is depressed, hiding in a cave. The king is trying to kill him, and he is scared. He's got this prophecy. My God, son, I wish I could preach it the way God's given it to. They've got this prophecy or this word over their life. The preacher said, I was anointed, but I don't feel anointed. The preacher said, I'm blessed, but I don't feel blessed. He said, I'm victorious, but I don't feel victorious. Are you listening to me? That's where David was. David said, God had already anointed David in the midst of his brothers that you're to be the king. I've got a word that I'm king, but I don't feel like king. I got a word that I'm anointed, but I don't feel like anointed. I'm supposed to be living in the palace, but I'm living in a cave. Woo! Here he is, trying to be who God called him to be, but life is happening. Don't you wish when you got saved, life would quit happening and you could just do what God said? But see, that's the crux, that's the cross, that's the bear, that's the rub, if you will, is that there is a word on your life and there is a hit on your life. You've got a bounty on your life and you got a blessing on your life. My God. And you've got to make sure that you listen to the right voice. You see, I believe that there are those here today that are dealing with this same problem. And I believe that the Psalms are in here because God is dealing with real life. He's dealing with reality. He's not saying, oh, we're just going to tiptoe through the tulips. I'm always going to have victory. Ha, ha, ha. Everybody likes me. I just can't understand. Everything just goes my way. I had this guy come to me one time and said, Pastor, I don't understand these Christians who talk about that God doesn't answer their prayer. It seemed like I barely get the prayer out of my mouth and God answers it. And I go, well, praise God, man. But then because I'm a little older. So I put my arm around him. And I said, listen, man. I don't want you to get discouraged when it begins a little harder to get the prayer answered or to get the result that you want. I wished I could tell you that he never had an issue, but no, he started having issues. It didn't go his way. And matter of fact, he died, and I'm not the judge, but if I was the judge, he'd probably be burning in hell right now. Why? Why, Pastor? Well, because he turned his back on God, because God didn't deliver him what he thought he should deliver. Can I tell you that God's good whether he answers your prayer the way you want him to or not? He is still good. He is still great. And he does not check with you before he does what he wants. God's good because he answers prayer. Yes, but can I tell you, he's good even if he don't answer your prayer the way you want him to. I just can't understand these people who don't think that God says no. There is a no button on God. There's a not now button on God. Let me move on. Here is a Psalms. He wants us to understand the journey of real life. Real life. And I don't mean, you don't have to raise your hands, but I'm talking to somebody who started out great. Who started out, oh, ooh, everything was going your way. Man, you was just, ooh, glory to God, hallelujah, I can't believe I waited this long to serve Jesus. Then life began to happen. Then your spouse walked out on you. You got fired from your job. The house was repossessed. Oh, everything began to go wrong. Maybe you lost a child for God's sake. Stuff began to happen. Here's a Psalms when David was in depression in Psalms chapter 6, verse 2. It says, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me. Do I have this? I think I do. Yes. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. That sounds like a man in some deep depression. Oh, I'm weak. Oh, God, my bones are in trouble. My soul is also greatly troubled. But you, oh Lord, how long? See, the reason so many people get depressed is because the question can't be answered. How long? If we could answer that question, if God would answer that question, then we could get maybe to the next level. Because what we can take it, but we don't know how long we've got to take it. See, if God would tell us it's going to be like this for a year, okay, then you get your calendar and you begin to mark off the day. I made it through this day. But at that day, 360 days from today, I'm going to be better. I'm just going to mark it off. I'm going to hold my time. I'm going to hold on because I know that there is an end that is set to my darkness. But the enemy makes sure with all the negative voices in your life that he makes you think that what you're going through is going to last the rest of your life. And remember this, some things don't have to be fought. They just have to be outlived. You're trying to fight things that you're just going to outlive. Don't be trying to fight your baby, your two-year-old. There's going to be some things that he's just going to have to outgrow. If you do your job and train him, he'll grow out of it. If he's seven and still pooping his pants, there's a problem. Either in his development or in your lack of ability to raise a child. Y'all know I'm talking truth here. See, here's the deal, man. We are not afraid to fight. I mean, I'm not one of those guys that go around looking for a fight. I don't want to fight. I'm telling you right now, we had a situation happen in Uruguay. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you right now, I used to be a bad dude. And I'm still bad for about 30 seconds. If the fight lasts longer than 30 seconds, I'm only in trouble. We were walking down. We were looking for some souvenirs. And we went to this. Well, we were looking. And anyway, long story short, we went to the bathroom and we came out. And there was this homeless guy in Uruguay. And he took this whatever he had in his hand. I didn't know at the time. And he went and he threw it in the dumpster. And he took the dumpster and he just started going, God. Just banging it and banging it and banging it. And there was another American. And he was kind of like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And so his buddy come in and he goes, what? He said, did you give the guy the food? He goes, yeah, he took the food and he just threw it in through the trash. And now he's mad. And then he came back over and grabbed their drink and took it off there and threw it in the trash. And then he come over and everybody in our group, Pastor Steve, our interpreter and his wife, everybody looked away. Because he came and stood at our table. I don't operate that way. And he began to speak to me in Spanish. And I said, no hablo. So he did what Americans do. He went slower and louder. And I said, no entiendo. And then he put his hand out. And I go, no. Then he took some coin out of his pocket and he put, I said, no. He went to jeer and everybody else. I said, I don't know if you can understand English, but I ain't your punk. And I am not going to be intimidated to give you something that I don't want to give you. Then he said a few words, and my interpreter said, he told you kindly to go back to your own country. I said, that's all right. But then he walked away. Because you ain't going to intimidate me to give to you. You ain't going to strong arm me. And the devil's not going to strong arm me to shut up and be silent just because he can get loud. Well, I don't know if you recognize it or not, but I'm kind of loud myself. And sometimes I have to get loud because the voices in my head are telling me one thing and the voices in my spirit are saying another. Hey, we don't mind the battle, but who wants to stay in the battle for a lifetime? That's where the problem is. You know, man, oh, I don't want to fight, but if we have to, I'm going to get smelly because this guy stinks. But you ain't going to strong arm me, bro. I know they don't have any guns up in here, so I'm good. I started looking for mine. I go, I don't got mine, but it's all right. But we don't mind a fight. But we don't want to stay in battle for a lifetime. At some point in time, we've got to come to the realization that I am better than this where I am right now. God didn't spend all this time making me. Hear me, somebody. It's not on the screen. God didn't spend all this time making you for you to struggle all of your life. Then why am I? Maybe it's you. Maybe it's the voices that you're hearing. Maybe here's a voice, I'm entitled. Here's a voice, they owe it to me. Here's a voice, somebody will do it if I don't do it. Here's a voice, somebody ought to pray for me. No, pray for yourself. Here's a voice, somebody ought to fight for me. I'll fight with you, but I'm not going to fight for you. So I come back ready for a fight today. Boy, I don't know. Woo. Glory to God. At some point in time, I just wish sometimes we would remember the battles we've already come through. Woo! You remember when you didn't think you were going to make it through, but you did. All the investment God has put in your life. All the people he's brought to your life. All the circumstances that he has allowed. He didn't pull you out of this and just think about this. He didn't pull you all out of that trouble, that all that you went through, to see you sit in your seat and listen to the devil's voice this morning. How many of you has God pulled out of a wreck? Out of a hospital bed? Out of a drug-induced coma? How many of you has God pulled out of a crack house? Out of an alcoholic situation? Out of the bottle? How many of you has God pulled out of an abusive situation? And here you sit today. There'll be a couple in the 11 o'clock service probably that I married them just a couple of the Saturday before I left to go to Uruguay. I married them. When they started coming to the church, they started coming because they were drug heads. They started coming because they were drug addicts. They were homeless. That's when they started coming. Then they moved in together. You know, well, that's good. No, that ain't good. But whatever, man. God used it. And now they're married because as they live together, they realize this is not right in the sight of God. Because they begin to listen to the preacher. They begin to read the word of God. Now, what you didn't know, and I'm not going to call their names just in case they won't allow me. I got to get their permission. But her kids were taken from her because of her drug addiction. And then, matter of fact, they just told her just last week or before I left that they're probably not going to get the kids back. And she said, it's all right. God's done enough. I'm believing. But if he don't, I'm going to be all right. Well, when I came to church on Wednesday night, she got me and she said, Pastor, I want you to know that they just called me and said, I'm probably going to get my kids back within the next month. Woo! You got to remember what God has pulled you out of. He pulled you out of almost losing your mind. And now you're here in your right mind. You got to remember, how many has God taken out the sword of the Spirit and whittled away some relationships that were not good for you? You cried. You didn't want them to leave. But God still whittled them out of your life. Here's what he said in verse 4. Return, O Lord. Deliver me. That's verse 6. Deliver me. Oh, save me from for your mercy's sake. For in the depth there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eye wastes away before of grief. Let me tell you how to keep yourself alive. Are you ready? Here's point number 2. Keep praising. You got to have some hope, man. You got to have some hope. You got to keep praising. How to keep yourself alive? Keep yourself praising. Keep your voice alive. You got to have some hope. There are people here today that you believe that the battle is never going to be won. You just think it's going to go from one battle to the next. That no matter what you do or no matter how hard you try, you just can't seem to get the breakthrough that you're looking for. Solomon, David's son, said this in Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it's a tree of life. Keep your hope up when you have nothing to look forward to and the enemy has you believing that tomorrow is going to be a repeat of today, and you get to the point that you lose your strength because you don't see a future. Those of you that are struggling with your children, there's coming a day they're going to be out of your house. Woo! And they're going to be empty nest. Woo, glory. I seen a post yesterday, somebody counting down the weeks. Somebody said they had each child 32 weeks, 47 weeks, 74 weeks. I'm counting it down. You got to know that there is an end to the darkness. There is an end to the struggle. You got to know that there's some hope. It might not last forever, but it might last more than today. I want you to understand that. It might last more than today. It might last more than tomorrow. It might last more than the next week. But understand that God has set an end to darkness. But around chapter 18, something happens in David, and he starts coming out. He starts coming out. Because here's what he said in Psalms 18:6. In my distress, I called upon God. And cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple. My cry came before him, even to his ears. Now David's talking about how God heard his cry. Remember how he was talking about, man, you don't even know what I'm going through, God. But now he's lived a little bit. Now God's heard my cry. It's not going to be like this always. I'm coming out of where I am. There are some people who need to hear you give God some praise about how you thought that God wasn't listening, but now that you're on the other side of it, you learn that he was there all the time. You thought God didn't hear you, but now you know he heard you. See, there's some people around you that need to hear that. Honey, don't you give up. Don't you give in. Don't you let the devil, quit letting the voice speak louder than the voice of victory. You don't be silent. See, you that have come through, you, not just me, but you need to tell some people, listen, I know where you was. I was there at one time, but God brought me through, and the same God that brought me through is the same God that's going to bring you through. Just don't give up and don't be silent. You know that David's coming through because now we go to chapter 23. And now David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Something turned in him. Something turned him around. Chapter 27 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Pastor, I'm going to be all right when I die. Oh, listen, I know I'm going to be all right when I die. I need some things to be all right while I live. While I live. I'm not just serving God just for heaven. Come on, somebody. If you have to die to gain victory, who wants to live? I'm going to say that again. If you have to die to gain victory, who wants to live? Now, I understand sometimes when you're sick, that's what you do. You die and you gain victory. But if you, as young as you are, got to die just to get victory, why? I'll tell you why. Because you're listening to the wrong voice. The problem is too many people are living the Christian life just to escape hell. I'm going to let that sink in. Why do you serve Jesus? I'll tell you straight up. When I first got saved, it wasn't because I loved Jesus. I really didn't know Jesus. I just didn't want to go to hell. What is this hell you speak of? It's the place where you go if you don't ask Jesus into your heart and live for Him. Oh, God loves me too much. No. God is just. He loves you so much that He made it so easy for you to come to Him. If you go to hell and you're in this place, you're going to have to crawl over the cross to get to hell because Jesus puts the cross in your way. I can't wait till this thing gets on podcast. I got to go listen to it. But we serve God just to escape hell. And what we don't realize is you live through hell getting to heaven. Well, hell's not supposed to be, life is not supposed to be fun. Heaven is fun. I just can't wait till I get to heaven. No. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I'm almost there. Not quite there yet, Gypsy. But I'm almost to the point that even if there was no hell or heaven, I would still live the Christian life. Why? Because I'm enjoying my life.
Well, that's because you're the pastor. You don't ever have any trouble.
Hogwash! You know what? If I didn't have to deal with anybody, I might not have any trouble. Come on, let's just be real. Think about most of your trouble. Because of somebody. Don't look at your spouse. Keep your eyes straight up here. Don't look. Don't just keep looking at me. Most of your trouble, boss, employees, co-workers, children, spouse, mother-in-law, dad-in-law, in-laws, outlaws, people who work for you, people who just get a paycheck from you. Come on, the bank, Walmart. Well, I got to be prayed up when I go into Walmart. Whew. Right? If you're in retail, customer service, that's where most of your trouble comes from. But I just can't be silent about it. And I am not missing anything that the world has to offer. I would live the same life because I'm enjoying my life. What would you do differently? I might tell a few people off that I haven't told off. Why? Because the Lord has given me some grace. A little bit, not a lot, just a little bit. I might look away when that guy looked at me. This is no lie, y'all. We got up from there. That guy finally walked off. We got up, we walking down, and another homeless guy coming by. Everybody else, we walking in, everybody else. I was like, so he walked straight toward me.
He was talking like this. I thought he was like Sling Blade or something. I like some mustard with them potatoes. That's the way he sounded. And he was talking in English, but I didn't even know what he was saying. And so he got through talking, and he said, I was like, yeah, all right, yeah. Uh-huh. He said, you got any coin? I said, I got some, but I ain't got none for you, bro. He stopped me. He goes, what? I said, you heard me. I said, I ain't got none for you. Pastor, you're supposed to be on a mission trip. I ain't giving him no money. Shut up. I ain't giving you nothing, man. He looked me straight in my eyes. He said, you ain't going to give me nothing? I said, no, I ain't going to give you nothing. So he said, everybody else. He said, what are you, a magnet? I go, I ain't no punk. I can tell you that. So then he goes, okay. I said, you want any mustard with them potatoes? I didn't say that last part. Have no idea where I'm at. I tell you what, my eyes just hit, though. I am enjoying my life. That's what I just saw. There is no hope
in guilting me into living right. There is no hope in feeling guilty for not worshiping. It's not a guilt trip. It is a privilege for me to walk into this place, lift up my hands, and praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can't help it. Even when I didn't know the words, in Uruguay, I still felt the presence. And I had to lift my hands and worship. I had to lift my hands and give him glory. See, I can't walk around Jericho. I can walk around Jericho for 7 days if I know that there's an end. Quit believing that God has assigned to you. Your assignment is to struggle for life. We was in Maximum Assault. And one guy come in one day and he goes, "Well, the Lord's called me to take a vow of poverty." I go, "That's a lie." I said it in front of him. I go, that's not scriptural. No, that's a lie. He was also homeless, so, you know, we gave him something. We let him stay and get something to eat, but it's like, that's a lie. God has not assigned you. Well, God has assigned me to struggle. That's my lot in life. No, it's not. Well, God has assigned me to suffer. No, that's not. It's not scriptural. I'm not talking about a prosperity message. I'm just telling you that's not scriptural. There might be an assignment for you to struggle a little bit for a little while. Usually that's because he wants to get pride off of us. Humble us. Take something off of us. But he did not go, you know, many, many, many mo. Yeah, you. You're going to struggle. About over here. Yeah. I like the way you looked at me when you was praising last Sunday. So yeah, you're going to struggle. Called to live a life with no hope. Quit believing that junk. You may struggle. You may weep. But joy comes in the morning. I wish I could tell everybody in here, listen, I'm not one of them preachers, man. This is evangelistic, what an evangelist would say. This morning, glory to God, that today is your due season. Your morning, is over today. I wish I could tell you that. That's not true. Because some of your morning may be coming this morning. But some of you, your morning ain't coming to next week. Some of your morning ain't coming to tomorrow. Some of your morning might not come till next summer. Some of your morning might not come to next year. But here's what I did come to tell you. We will not be silent just because it's not my morning. I'm going to worship him now because I know that joy is coming. Come on, somebody. You have an assignment of pain. No. An assignment of fear. No. You have an assignment of no hope. No. That is not true. God did not invest in you all that he has invested in you to watch you go down without to the grave without a shout. At some point in time in your life, you got to have a shout. I don't care when, where you are, but I want you to know that there is a victory in store for you. If they can have it, I want somebody to hear me. If they can have it, so can you have it. I want somebody to hear me. Somebody take a hold of this. If they can dance, you ought to be able to dance. If they have a family, you can have a family. If they have joy, you can have joy. If they have a happy marriage, you can have a happy marriage. If they live in abundance, you can live in abundance. If they can get a healing, you can get a healing. If they can be blessed, you can be blessed. Whatever the case. I'm weary of people singing about victory but living without it. If this is not the good life, would somebody please tell me where it is? Point me into the right direction. Because I lived the other life. Yeah, but Pastor, when you lived the other life, you didn't have... No. My testimony It's not that I was at the bottom of the pit and lost everything and then turned to Jesus. No, that's not my story, baby. My story was I had the world by the tail. That's my tale. That's my story. But can I tell you, but his glory is this, is that even though I had everything that I desired at the time, there was still something missing inside of me, and it was Jesus. It was a relationship with Jesus. And now I know what it is to be broke and have him, and I'd still rather have him than anything else. Even in my distress, God is there. This life is worthy of living. All right, come back so I shut up. I got one more point, though. I got to give you one more point. Point three. Talk about it. What do you mean? I've already said talk about it. Tell somebody. There was... He may be watching in the 11 o'clock service, but there was a guy that was here doing some service on one of our machinery. And he and Justin got to talking, and here's what he told Justin. Parents, listen to me closely. Here's what he told Justin. He said, well, we used to go to church when I was a kid, but I saw my parents living contrary to the word and what they said in church. They lived one way in church and then lived differently outside the church. That's called hypocrisy. He said, and then I seen everything else. He said, I just didn't want anything to do with church. He was working on one of our machines. He goes, but man, he said, but something's beginning to stirring in us, my wife and I. And we want more out of life. And Justin went to laugh, and he goes, man, can't you see that God brought you here? He goes, I know, man, I feel. He said, I just feel something. He's from a Baptist church, so you know, he's a, I just feel something here. He said, maybe I ought to give church a try again. And Justin said, well, yes, you ought to give church a try, but more than that, give Jesus a try. So parents, well, my children just don't go to church. What did they see you do? Maybe you had the preacher over for dinner, but he wasn't there. Maybe you had your member, maybe your fellow member over for dinner and they wasn't there. But you ate them up. What is it? By the time we get to chapter 30, David is full-blown victory, man. I want to read to you, and I've got it on the slides here, Mike. Psalms 31. I will exalt you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. You didn't let my foes rejoice over me. When everybody said I was making a mistake for serving Jesus. When everybody said I was making a mistake because I was going to that church, it wasn't the right church. When everybody said that you're wasting your time and your money given to that church. My foes, you have lifted me up. My foes have not rejoiced over me. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried out unto you and you healed me. You healed me. Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. See, I want you to hear that. Not my body, but my soul. Because some of you are here, but your soul is in the grave. Some of you are here, but your marriage is in the grave. Some of you are here, but your faith is in the grave. Some of you are here, but your worship and your praise is in the grave. You have brought me, my soul, up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger but is for but a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Woo! Look at somebody and say, I feel joy. Pastor, I don't. Prophesy it. I feel joy trying to stir up in me. I feel joy stirring up in me. Glory to God. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, in my prosperity. I want you to catch this. He was saying, I praise him when I didn't have anything. And now that I do have something, I'm going to praise him. Woo! Glory. I'm sorry. I just remembered him. I just remembered how I used to shout when I didn't have anything. And now I just got to shout because I do have something. Ha! Some of you won't shout till you get something. And can I tell you, until you shout, you won't get nothing. Now in my prosperity, I said, that's what we all say, right? When we get in our prosperity, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain strong. Stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. And I cried to you, O Lord. And to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Come on, give him praise in this house.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.